What a great time of worship. Amen. Amen. Glad to see you here today. As we've referenced a time or two this morning already, this is the day we celebrate Palm Sunday, the time when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem, and throughout the Christian world it's celebrated today, and we certainly celebrate it here today. The sermon won't be just on that, though. We'll go on and hit some other events of this Holy Week. A spectacular day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and we say Palm Sunday. It was a great day, and he came with a big celebration. People gathered all around, and they were there crying out, as you heard in song, Hosanna. And they were ready to celebrate. And they said in John 11:18, this was the Pharisees said, look how the whole world's gone after him. So they were saying, look at this, man, the whole world's going after this guy. And the bottom line of that, they didn't like that. But that was what was going on. And then the next few days, here we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, chief priest and the like, trying to trap Jesus over and over again. Trick questions, trying to get him in, quote, trouble, if you will. But they failed. They didn't get the job done. So then the people were still saying, we're going to crown Jesus to be our king. And it was a celebration. Then if you remember, as we just go through time here the next few days, the cleansing of the temple took place, and Jesus had to get the record straight, if you will, and that. Then you remember a time when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. That took place. And we remember the Last Supper was taking place also. After that supper, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there, you know that story probably about the time that he was spent in prayer. Then Judas comes along, the betrayer, and he leads the temple guards to arrest Jesus, and he endures a lot of illegal nighttime trials, if you will, for a while. And then these priests that we keep going back to, they were filled with hatred and greed. And they weren't who they were supposed to be. And Jesus knew that, and they knew that. And they had the nerve to say Jesus should die because of a statement that he made. And the statement was, I am the Son of God. The true Son of God making the statement, yes, I am the Son of God. And then that they didn't like that. A bit. So those things sound familiar to you. I would say just about everybody knows of those events, and I encourage you to read them this week now, to take your scripture and go through that process and each day and read the Word of God and think about it. Think about Calvary. Think about what your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for you. What he did. Yes, the death, resurrection, all that. The beatings he took. Think about it and read it and let it refresh your mind and your heart. And after you do that, you'll be thankful. You'll be thankful. You'll feel like praising God for what he has done for you and saved you, took your sins away. And I know you'll be glad to do that. So, yes, familiar. It's just like Easter and Christmas. You know, they come every year, and you know the message is the same. Christmas time, that message is still the same. Easter time, that message is still the same. But it can be refreshing, amen? Yeah, it happens every year. You know, we'll have a little Easter, Palm Sunday. We'll do, yeah. But let it come. Let the Spirit of God come in the mind and the heart and in your being and grab hold of it afresh and anew and praise him and worship him. On the screen this morning, Luke 23:13-25, Pilate called together the chief priest, the rulers, and the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. With one voice they cried out, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." He had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But the loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who has been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. So here's Pilate saying, "I find nothing here for this death of this man, Jesus." But the crowd said what? "Crucify him. Crucify him." A poet wrote these words one time. He said, "Of all the words or tongue or pen, the saddest are these, 'It might have been.'" It might have been. And if we take that in everyday language, it's the word almost. Almost. Almost, whatever you want to put in the blank. Almost is saying there was a missed opportunity. I missed the chance too. I almost, and I think that's where we find this story here. I almost climbed that mountain. I almost got to church on time. I almost did this, that, or the other. And here we've got Pilate knowing I should release Jesus. I think in his mind he might have thought, "I almost released Jesus. I almost, but I didn't." He listened to the people. And they demanded, and he said, "Crucify him." And so he gave in to their demands here. He listened to the voices that were saying, "Crucify." He listened to the evil in them. He listened to Satan, in my opinion. You may think that or not. But, you know, you say, "Well, don't be so hard on Pilate," and I'm not, because we hear those voices. We hear that, "Well, go ahead and do it. Nobody will know. Go ahead and do this or that or the other. Nobody will know. Just go ahead. It's okay." Knowing it's not okay. Knowing we shouldn't. We still hear those voices sometimes. "Go ahead. Nobody will ever know." Now Pilate could have listened to his wife. What do you think about that, man? That's what I thought. You're not thinking. No, he could have listened to her. Because look with me at Matthew 27:19 on the screen. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. "Don't have anything to do with that," what? "Innocent man. For I've suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." So here's Pilate's wife says, "You better think about this now, Pilate. I've had this dream and that kind of thing." And he knew, Pilate knew, that the chief priests were corrupt. He knew they were greedy. He knew they were going about things the wrong way and that they were lying about Jesus. But Pilate listened to the crowd. He listened to what they had to say. Almost let Jesus go, but he didn't. How many times have someone said to me as a preacher, pastor, "I almost came to the altar today. I almost give my heart to the Lord at that singing or at that altar call. I almost surrendered to God." I almost went into ministry. I almost, when it comes to the kingdom of God, there's a lot of almost that we put in the blank when God is saying, do this or don't do that. And we live life and we get caught up in all the things of life. A lot of them are great things and good things. And the Spirit of God's calling us to do things. And it's like, I almost did that. What God is saying to you as individuals and families, to us as a church body, let there not be any I almost. Let it be, I will, Lord. Here am I, send me. Not almost, but do the will of God as He calls on us. And the Bible clearly teaches that there's no almost with God. You see, I'm almost going to go to heaven. I'm almost going to hell. My friend, I submit to you this morning that there's only two places you're going to spend all of eternity. And all of eternity is a long, long, long time, more than we can really comprehend, forever, forever, and forever. Only two places, and it is heaven or it is the devil's hell. The one who accepts Jesus' death and resurrection, asks for forgiveness of sin, and lives for Him will not almost get to heaven. You will be in heaven in eternity. And those who deny Christ and His Lordship won't almost go to a devil's hell. They will go to that place in all of eternity. So the almost, we've got to move away from the almost. Pilate came close. He said, this man's innocent. I'll punish him, release him. Almost, but he didn't. He went ahead and listened to the people. And they took Jesus, and there they were, the two thieves and Jesus. And the soldiers placed them on the cross. And it wasn't a new thing to the soldiers. They had done it many times. They laid the crosses down on the ground. They placed Jesus, the two thieves, on that cross. They nailed, put the spikes in the hand and the feet. And then they dropped that old pole, if you will, down in holes. Probably it had been used many, many times before. And there, the weight of that pole hit in that hole in the ground and with a big thump. And there they hung on that cross. Not almost on the cross, for sure on the cross. And between heaven and earth, there is the Son of God on the cross, the Savior of the world, the spotless Lamb of God on that cross, not almost on it. Why? For you and for me. For the sins of the world, He was on that cross. Not almost, He was on the cross. And there He was with the tears and the blood that had come from the thorn, the crown of thorns and the beatings. And in my mind, He's on that cross and there He's looking out at people through the blood and the tears in His eyes. And He sees them, but it might not be real clear. I don't know how all that was for sure. But He sees the people gathered there. And I don't know all that He might have thought. But people had gathered at this crucifixion. The soldiers were underneath the cross. And they were gambling, throwing the dice over His clothes. And there they were, close. Think about how close the soldiers were. Very close to the cross, yet so far away. In my mind, they were mocking, they were making fun of, they were gambling. And here I'm telling you, the Son of God, Jesus Himself, is not almost on that cross, but He's on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. And here they are at the foot of it, if you will. And they're so close. And the blood from our Lord and our Savior hits the ground right at them. And they go about their way. They're so engaged in what they're doing. They don't even think, here's the Son of God on this cross. But He was. And His own blood hit close to them. So close to that cross. so far away. That describes a lot of people sitting in churches today. So close. So close to the cross, but yet so far away to an intimate relationship with the Savior of the world. Still just rolling the dice right under him. Luke 23:24 on the screen. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Hear that? Jesus, the Son of God, not almost the Son of God, not almost anything, but the Son of the living God. Not almost on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. There he hung and he said, "Father, forgive them." You see, I'm included in that. You're included in that. I'm glad, aren't you? "Father, forgive them. Forgive that soldier who just put that spike in my hand and in my feet. He don't know what he's doing. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive old Pilate because he almost did this or that. He knew I was innocent, Father. He said so. Forgive Pilate. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Old Pilate sentenced me to die anyway. Forgive those people that'll come down through the ages. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive a bunch of people gathered on March 20th, 2016 at Jones Chapel Church of God. Father, forgive them." And that's what his business was. And he was crying out, and he did. "Forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing." Sometimes it's hard for you to forgive your spouse. Amen, or oh me. Sometimes it's hard for you to forgive your children. And God knows they've been churches split over people getting sideways with each other because they wouldn't forgive one another. I can't forgive my spouse, I can't forgive my children, or I can't forgive my brother or sister in the Lord. And Jesus himself, the Son of God, hanging on the cross in all the pain, taking the sins of the world, says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And I can't forgive whoever? Give me a break. Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't realize what they're doing." Jesus spoke seven times there. One time he responded to the thieves and he said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." That's one. He looked at Mary, his mother, and John, and he said these words, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." He is telling them, take care of each other is what he was doing. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, why have you left me alone?" He felt alone, that the sin of mankind was upon him. And in God's holiness, he could not look at that. And here Jesus is saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he hung on that cross. Then he said, "I thirst." He said, "It's finished." He said, "Then, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he didn't say anything else. It's over. The death had taken place. The greatest victory in the history of the world just took place when Jesus died. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." On a hill that looked like a skull, the greatest event of history, the greatest victory that was ever won or ever will be won, just happened in that story, in that truth in that gospel that Jesus died for our sins, and we get to have the victory because of it. People say there's one thing about life, it sure does change. The inconsistencies of life are consistent, and it's always changing. Somebody said it's like a tossed salad, you stick your fork in and you never know what you're going to get for sure. Like a roller coaster, it's up and down, twists and turns, you're at and don't know what's going to happen next. And that's a lot of truth in that. But here's one thing that will not change. I submit to you today, this will never change. Jesus took care of this cross business, this sin business, once and for all. Life's going to change, ups and downs. But this gospel message right here has been good throughout the ages. It will not change. It is true. Jesus died on that cross for you. Not almost died, not almost on the cross, not almost anything. He did it and won the victory for mankind. That if we'll listen to Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sin, He will. And He'll walk with us through life, the greatest victory that's ever been won. So this message here about Calvary. God took all of life. He takes all your good and your bad, your inconsistencies and all of life that we live, and He some way through His Spirit weaves it all together. And He says, man, you're beautiful to me. And I love you. And I care for you. It don't matter what your mama said. It don't matter what your daddy said, hopefully good things. It don't matter what the world says. It don't matter what Hillary Clinton says or Donald Trump or anybody else. Listen to me. You are my child. I died on Calvary's cross for you. When you're up on the top of the mountain and when you're down in the valley, when you're burned out, when you're depressed, when you're up, no matter how you are, I love you. And how do you know I love you? Because I said what I would do and I carried it through. And I died on Calvary's cross for you because you're important to me. And I love mankind and I took the sin of the world. I love you and you're important no matter how you feel. No matter what life brings to you, I'm your God. I'm your Savior. And I love you, and I love mankind, and I proved it. I proved it. So, it don't matter all this other stuff, really, in life. One day, the rain's going to pour down. It's a good time of year to talk about that. We've had a lot, hadn't we? The next day, guess what? Did you look outside? The sun's out. Everything's going my way now. The sun's out. Oh, tomorrow it might rain. But one thing you can hang on to is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won the victory. And all these turns in life, hey, Jesus says, I'm still your righteousness. I'm still the goodness in you. I've still won the victory. You're not defeated. You're an overcomer. I love you. Last slide today. Take a good look at Calvary. Take a good look at Calvary. Real close. Watch a movie or two. And the gruesome passion, if you will. And take your Bible and read the story. Take a good look at Calvary and what Jesus Christ has done for all of us. Stay there. Take a good look. Don't take your relationship with God so casually. Because this is more than a story. It's more than something we talk about once a year. It's the greatest event in the history of the world. The death and resurrection of Jesus. And we take it lightly. Sometimes we probably mean to. sometimes we probably don't mean to, but we get so caught up in life and we forget what's important. And it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's what He has done, what He has said, and what He is calling us to do. And it must be first place in our life. It must be. So, the ultimate tragedy is that all around our land today, there'll be people gathered. Some places they won't be but two or three. Four or five, maybe 50 over here, 60 over there, 150 here. They may be 5,000 or 10,000 in another gathering. But people gathered all around. And then here's the tragedy of it. People will say, I almost believe that story. I almost will take you up on that, preacher. I almost believe that. Service after service. People on the brink of right on the edge of saying, you know, I think I will get saved today. I think I will surrender all to God. Almost. Almost. Others are like those soldiers we referred to here, that the Scripture refers to. They're just so close to the cross. They're just so close to it. But yet they're so caught up in life, and I don't have time for that. I'm used to doing this, and I'm not going to church, and I'm not doing that or whatever, you know. I'm just used to doing my job. My job's to crucify people, and I'm just here throwing dice like I always do. And I'm so caught up in life, I don't even have time to look up at Jesus. Almost. Almost. So, I say to you once again, and in closing, take a good close look at Calvary. Take a good look at Calvary and what Jesus has done for you. Don't leave here today saying, I almost got saved. Or I almost brought this problem to one who can handle it. I almost went to the altar today and prayed for a lost person. You know, I'm carrying this burden around in life, and it's a big burden. And whatever that burden is, I almost went to an altar and said, God, I don't want to carry this anymore. It's burdened me down. It's a weight upon me. God, I need deliverance. I need help. I almost went to the altar. I almost did this or that. It's not time for almost. It's time to carry through. It's time to say, Lord, here it is. I give it to you. Because He don't want us to carry things we have no business carrying. He died for that. He died for the sin of the world, mine, yours, and anybody that'll accept Him. He took care of that. Didn't almost take care of it. He took care of it. And we've got to accept Him and live for Him. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He's here to forgive. He's here to help. And the true help, we can get help a lot of places for a lot of things in this old world. And I thank God for all those good things. But if you want to take something to the bank, the old saying says, if you want to really rely upon something, the greatest victory known to mankind is Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And He cares for you. So I invite you, in your pew, at an altar, whatever the Spirit says to you, don't leave here and say, I almost did that. Give it to the Lord and let Him help you. He loves you. Would you stand with me? Father, what a wonderful day to be here and to celebrate the goodness of God. What a time to come and say, Lord, we know we need you. And Father, the victory has been won for us. And sometimes we get so caught up in life, like the soldiers there at the foot of the cross. We're so close, yet so far away. And here we are before you. And we're asking in the name of Jesus Christ that it's not an almost relationship with Jesus today. Not almost praying for the lost. Not almost doing this or the other, but coming to the Savior of the world for help and encouragement and forgiveness. You know our hearts, Lord, and it would truly be a shame to leave this place burdened, leave this place lost, or in a backslidden condition. Thank you for your power and your love and your grace that's available to us today. And we ask, Lord, you come work with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.